back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back in Baltimore County. We are at Gunpowder Lodge. We are sort of on the edge of Harford County, but northern Baltimore County. We're Kingsville. If you come down the hill on Bel Air Road, right on the left-hand side if you're going northbound. We got Raven scratch-offs giveaway from the Maryland Lottery, giving some away behind me at the bar. Those folks who live up in this area, stop by to see the show. Mike Brisigliano is our guest. All of it brought to you, again, by our friends at Goodwill. Lisa Rosiniak came on. It's Halloween week, So Goodwill is just, it's like their Super Bowl, right? Everybody's out shopping. I think I'm going to do Aladdin Sane. Like we were trying to do like different David Bowies, like a Thin White Duke or like a Ziggy Stardust.
Right.
I think I'm going to do an Aladdin Sane thing.
Nice.
Goodwill, good folks, putting people to work and doing jobs training downtown. And our friends at Window Nation, I let my hair out a little bit because I wanted to have some documentation of my rock and roll hair.
It's amazing.
So I'm gonna. It is crazy amazing. That my hair is coming like this,
God.
Isn't it?
It's unbelievable, yeah.
Why is it that old white guys care about my hair so much? Why do they tell me to get it cut? Like, why do they care?
I don't know. I mean, I'm envious of your hair since I have much less of it at age 70 now than I had before. So.
Rosig is fresh from Italy. He's got this Italian tan going on here.
Oh.
He's had all this Tuscan wine, know, right?
Yes,
all
yes,
these
yes.
hors d'oeuvres on the Amalfi Coast. So Mike Rosigliano is our guest. Long time, my dude, my sports cartoonist. I'm trying to sell him some windows from Window Nation, which I'll do that when he needs windows. We have other people that need windows. If you need windows, 866-90-NATION. I had the lobster roll. Delicious. I want to hear some sports stories that you have. And, you know, the Lamar thing and where the Ravens. You want to hear about me getting thrown out of the Ravens? Because
I'm so need to catch up because I was out of the country. So
I'll tell you, that's a three-beer story, and I'm only on my first beer.
It probably is.
You know, you can read about it. I wrote 19,000 words about it for Johnny Unitas. You know, I still don't know what to make of it. People are coming up to me everywhere I am asking me about it. And you know what I say? And this is... I'm kind of being flippant, but I'm not. Call Chad Steele.
Right.
Ask him. Don't ask me. I wrote the truth, but it's not mine to answer. It should not be for me to answer as to why I'm not being allowed to do my job. You know?
I mean, my take on it, just to not go into it so much, is that you are the greatest promoter of this team that I have ever seen in Baltimore. And so it's stunning to me that this has happened, you know. And I need to read
the You haven't even read the story. Yeah. You've been in Italy.
I have to read the story.
Did you have COVID when you got back?
I had COVID. Actually, going there, I had it. So, yes. But I don't have it anymore.
Okay.
Yes.
You're good. You're clean.
I'm clean. You're good to go.
Did you do okay with COVID?
I did. I mean, it didn't impact. And so, you know, I actually offered not to go because I had it. It seemed like the responsible thing to do. But our host said, please come, wear a mask. Just be safe. That's what we all tried to do. And so I tested while I was there, too, and I still had it. Maybe towards the end, I didn't have it anymore. Terry got it at the very end. So she had it, you know, all of this past week. Again, very mild. We do our boosters. So.
I haven't, knock on wood, but I'm trying to stay. I elbow bump. I mean, I'm just trying to stay 6 feet away from everybody, you know?
I think you're right to do it.
It's weird. I've talked a lot about this because you're Italian. I'm like, I like hugging.
Right,
and I think the weirdest thing has been the psychological part of, like, even when I travel, we were in Canada, and just trying, A, not to get sick or get anybody else sick, but just, like, and the people that want to hug me are the people that have already hugged 500 people.
Sure, exactly.
Like, I've hugged two people this month, okay?
Yeah.
I hugged Todd Heap up at the Hollywood Casino on Sunday because I saw him and he loved my hair, and, you know, so I hugged him, gave him a big, nice hug.
Nice.
And you'll appreciate the other person. And I haven't hugged you.
Yes.
I hugged Jack Gibbons.
Oh, my God, of course.
So
we
were down at the Guinness Factory. And I said, Jack, I'm not hugging anybody, but I'm going to hug you.
Yeah.
So I hugged him at the end, and, you know, I gave him a nice big bear hug.
I love that guy.
Well, when I think about why I'm even here today and enjoying this beer, and I'll have Danny Santoro, JR, and the guys on from Gunpowder Lodge in a little bit. But anyway, I'm going for a pumpkin ale today.
Yes. I'm still waiting for mine.
Delaware pumpkin ale. Thank you, Dogfish.
How is it? Is it good?
It's delicious. Yeah. I haven't had a taste for beer in a month and a half.
Very Halloweenish. Very good choice, I think.
You know, I drank beer every day during the month of August.
I
didn't gain weight.
Ah, well, that's impressive. So, how did you offset that? just you're naturally?
I don't know. I mean, I went to 31. I went to 38 breweries in 31 days, and I had a beer in every one of them.
Woo.
Now, some of them didn't have a whole beer. My wife and I would split one,
right?
Or because we were driving, or like whatever. And some nights I was driving, and I couldn't have two, and I wanted to have four. But when the tour was over, we got back and we went up to Canada, and to chase Pearl Jam around for about 4 days. And we got some beer in the car, and I had a couple of beers right at the show. And then I got home and I detoxed, and it wasn't even about, like, I don't think I was even tipsy in those 32 days. Maybe once out in Cumberland, I had a couple. Jen was driving, and the beer was good. It was a nice day. But I didn't even get tipsy on the tour. But when I got back, we went to Pizza John's, got a pizza, and I'm like, Jen's like, you want a beer? I'm like, nah, you know, like, both of my parents were alcoholics, like, full on, you know, wow. My bloodline parents. My mother, far worse than my father, but my mother was, like, raging alcoholic. Not the mother you all know, the mother that had me. So I've always been a little concerned about...
Yeah,
addiction, and we talk about gambling addiction and like all of that. I know I'm not addicted to alcohol, but I would just say I went like 6 weeks without a taste for it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I just didn't want a beer for a while.
I'm the same. I love to drink it socially with someone.
I'm loving this.
I don't usually typically sit around my house and drink beers. You know, I just don't do it. I go, if I'm out, I'll drink
a beer. You're so funny. You walked in here and the first thing you said, are we going to drink beer?
No,
can we get a beer?
I just,
can we get a beer? Yeah, hold on. Let me get you a beer. Hold on. Here. Sig's got a beer, too.
Thank you very much. Here.
I salute. Thanks, everybody here at Gunpowder Lodge for
being
kind to
cheers
us.
Cheers to you, Ness. Yeah.
I want to say this. The one thing that, because I love you and you're like my oldest friend and it's fun to have you out today. And it's even weirder because I thought everybody's read the story, you know, about the Ravens thing. You did this incredible cover. And this is the weekend. We're taping this on the Friday before the Browns game, so we're not going to talk about the game or Lamar so much. But Rasig did the artwork for the book, and this is Purple Rain 2. And I think you know this. I mean, you and I were together. I was in your house down in Hollywood, or Berkshire, Hollywood area. And you were doing the cover. You know that I poured my life into writing a book, right?
Yeah, of course.
So it's been 10 years, the definitive story of the 2012 Ravens. And the fact that this book is about the integrity of the organization. So there is a point where I'm just trying to get these books out, let people read it for what it is, because I am proud of it. But I really have to rethink.
The integrity 20, part.
26 years
maybe the
of dedicating
part.
My life to doing work like this and having it stripped away sort of unconscionably.
But you were a great documentarian of what went on that season and in the first book, too. Like, you really did a great job.
Well, the second book was better than the first book for me.
Yeah.
Because I learned things.
Right, sure.
Like, when I was writing the second book, the first book was a whim thing in the middle of the night. We had just gotten back from winning. I felt like it could be a book, but in those days you had to like figure out how you're going to get it printed and like all of that, right?
Right.
And the first night I was in a hotel room down in Northern Virginia. I was dating a girl that lived down that way, and I was literally in a hotel room, and Trent Dilfer and Tony Siragusa came on The Tonight Show and Letterman. I think Dilfer did Letterman, and I think Stokely was on one of the late shows at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other late show would have even been. Stokely did one.
Right.
Dilfer did one. And Siragusa. And these were on Thursday and Friday night.
Right.
And then remember, Dilfer went to Disney World and Ray Lewis didn't get invited to do anything, right?
Right.
They totally pissed on Ray because of the murders. Like,
right.
You know, I get put your head back into February of 2001.
Yeah.
And I literally was lying in bed. The girl I was dating was asleep. And I was watching late night television. And I heard their stories. And I literally grabbed my pay stub from Sporting News Radio off the bureau, and I grabbed the pen, and I still have it, and I started writing down chapters.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And I said, what Ray Lewis and the Atlanta thing is a chapter.
Right.
Art Modell and no having money is a chapter.
Right.
And if you look through the book, literally from that night forward, the chapters that I wrote for Purple Rain 1 are the chapters that became...
Yeah.
Purple Rain 1.
So from that hotel room, you've got your chapters.
So
right
I made the chapters and wrote an indices and said, here's a story, here's a story, here's a story, here's a story. And then I sat with Brian, David, Marvin, Rob Burnett was indispensable. Mike Flynn had surgery after the Super Bowl and sat with me out at Palos and got hammered one night with those delicious little pretzel sticks with that olive tapenade. And this was first person, because I was with the team. I mean, this was a miracle, the first book. The fact that the team ever came to Baltimore...
Well, of course.
It's a miracle.
Of course. Yes, exactly.
You were here for all that. You watched the team.
I was here for all of it. I wasn't.
Anybody under the age of 30 has no connection to what a miracle that we ever got a football team to begin with.
Sure, exactly. And, you know, as far as you and I go, we were there. I was at the championship game, of course. That you were at.
Raiders game.
We were at the Raiders game together. Not together, but we were at the Raiders
game. You were protected by the Mulatalo family.
I was protected by the
Mulatalo. I wrote about that in the book. I think I did write about that.
You did write
book.
About it, yeah. And it's just it's such a funny story.
Painting
that.
The black hole purple. That's a chapter you might want to read in the book there.
Right.
Page 213.
Right.
The sunglasses told the story as the sands were winding down on the hourglass of the AFC Central champion, Tennessee Titans, and their aborted postseason run at Adelphia Coliseum. Defensive tackle Tony Siragusa had other plans. There you go. Is that good?
So that game, the Titans game, we were watching that game at my friend Nick's house, Nick Seropoulos, that you know, and all the neighborhood was coming over. And Dan Rodericks had called me that night and said, "Do you know a good place I could watch the game?"
Yeah, my house.
I said, "Come to Nick's house." I said, "You're going to have a blast there." And Dan wrote a column about it the next day because the house was literally shaking.
When Ray took the ball away from Eddie George.
The house was shaking. I mean, and Dan wrote about that in the paper. And I did little illustrations for his column for that, too, which was a lot of fun. So, yeah, Dan was like, he was almost scared because it was so crazy in that house that
day. Well, Chad Steele would love this story because I was sitting in the stands with Kevin Eck at that game.
Oh,
I had my press credential. Now, keep in mind, after that game, it was the Banshee and the Spear. And Billick, when we beat them down there,
of
that.
Right, right.
They put Billick on the scoreboard
pissed
on him like it was an SEC game. Right,
right, right.
Okay, so I was in the stands on the roof with Kevin Eck, and when that ball was taken away, Kevin Eck and I grabbed each other, and we were jumping up and down, just like as Ray was running away from Eddie George, he took the ball and went. And we were jumping up and down, and it was at that moment we knew we were going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, similarly, at the Oakland game, I mean, this is such an amazing run to kind of remember, of course, but similarly...
Well, they're doing the 30 for 30 on it.
On that season?
On the defensive, yes.
Oh, on our defense.
On our 2001.
Oh, my God, I have to see
that. The guys at NFL Films, I gave them copies of the book, the first book, because they wanted some stories to tell. And you know about this, right before Goose died. They had the reunion down.
Yes, right.
At the Meyerhoff.
Yes, right.
So
right.
None of that has been. I was there and witnessed it, but it's going to be a big, big part of the 30 for 30 when they. Kevin Byrne was the MC.
Nice, very
right.
nice. Yeah,
so there you have it.
So you know, at the Oakland game when he connects with for the pass with Shannon Sharpe, the 90 something.
I know where you were sitting. You were sitting in Mount Davis up in a corner.
We were sitting right next to Brian Billick's wife, actually,
as it
turned out. And they were giving her a lot of grief in that game, all the Oakland fans were. And until the Mulatalo brothers showed up, and they, four huge guys.
Now, Eddie's from the Bay Area.
Okay.
Now, you know, Eddie has no recollection of that day, right? Do you know that?
No.
Ed got hit in the head that day. He had a concussion that day.
Oh, wow.
You can look it up.
Okay.
And Ed has no recollection.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, Ed got dinged that day, as they called it then. We call it a brain injury now.
Right, yes. So when the pass happens, I literally jumped into the arms of one of the Mulatalo cousins. I mean, I was that fired up. I jumped back, and the dude caught me in the seat behind me, you know? Like it
God
was
bless
just,
the Mulatalos.
Oh,
man.
They were just so
the
great.
The best.
And they diffused all the Oakland jerk fans that were around us. Like, all those guys were just giving us grief the whole game. until the Mulatalos, who were wearing their purple. Like, they recommended that we didn't wear purple.
I recommended you not wear purple.
Yeah, you also recommended it to me, and we didn't. We wore Ravens gear, but it was black Ravens gear.
I was with Dave Rather from Mothers. And anybody knows Mothers, knows Dave. Dave had a box, and all I remember was being in his box, and when Stover missed the field goal, they broke the glass. It was glass. The glass broke. It didn't fall. It was, you know, self-containing, shattered.
Right.
And through the shattering, there was a little girl about Bella's age, going, a little boy, going like this. Through the glass. And I'm like, okay, we are in the East Bay. Mike Versigliano's here. We're at Gunpowder Lodge. Telling old Raven stories and being old friends and like all that. The Orioles, with baseball in this town, when you came here, I know it was a big part. You already mentioned John Miller. He liked John Miller more than he liked me, but that's okay. All right. I like John Miller more than I like me, too. Baseball and the heartbeat this summer kind of coming back. And me watching
how great.
This excitement with the Padres.
Right.
You weren't awake late when the Padres beat the Dodgers.
I was not.
I woke up last week at 12:30 at night. I had to pee because I'm that age. Dr. Sigmund, I need to see you. So I go to the bathroom. My wife's asleep. I fell asleep in the TV room. And the game wasn't even on. And I looked down on my app while I was peeing. Literally, I'm like, well, it's 12:30. The game started at 9:30. Might be the eighth inning. You know, I don't know. Let me see. I looked on my app. The Padres were losing 2-0 in the seventh inning. And I'm like, all right, I'm awake now. Went back, put the TV on. I sat there. Dodgers scored a run. I think it was a home run. That's 3-0.
3-0, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, these Padre fans are, like, devastated, you know. And the next thing you know, scoring runs, take the lead, take a big lead. It's 1:15, 1:30 in the morning. I went back to the bathroom. I came back from the bathroom out of the TV break, and it's raining harder in San Diego.
Wow.
I've never seen a raindrop in San Diego.
Right.
Right? Like, literally. It was raining like a summer storm. Like, everybody was drenched. The third base, Machado standing out there, and it looked like a lake. All of this happened in, like, 2 minutes. All these jubilant Padres fans watching the Dodgers get finally. There was a moment in that.
Was like, there? Was it like the natural where, you know, that the clock, you know.
It was a little bit like the Buffalo Bills beating the Raiders 51-3. You know, it's that moment where you're like, we're really going to, that Eddie George moment. We're really going to win.
Right.
And those Padre fans know nothing about that, right? Like, my cousin, I took her to the World Series in 1998, my San Diego cousin. It was 24 years ago, dude. It was 24. It's like the 83 World Series for us. So I'm wondering, I mean, this crowd base here, fan base, living on that double, the Delman Young double.
Yes,
and
right.
I'm like, there was a league division series double.
Yeah,
like,
true.
What's going to happen when we have real,
I mean,
when we have a real moment here?
I think it's going to be amazing, of course, because, you know, they're building something here. It's exciting. You know, how could you not love these guys, Adley and, you know, Gunnar, like these guys?
But watching these other cities light up the last week or two.
Right.
More so than like Atlanta, where they don't care.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Or the Yankees, they don't care.
Sure.
The Astros, they cheat, so I don't care.
Right.
But seeing an underdog.
Right. And so this reminds me a little bit of when, I know you're probably not a Nationals fan, but I went to the Nationals game with my friend Eric Brady, who wrote for USA Today, and saw them win and then go on to win the World Series that year, where they were the best team for a couple of years and didn't win.
Yeah.
Same with the Caps, too, right? The Caps were the best team for a couple of years.
Very much
and
so.
And then won in a year that you didn't.
And the Orioles were great in 79, but it took them to 83 to win.
And it took them to 83 to win.
I mean, the Bills were good in 89. They never won. By the way, my wife, with all this Raven stuff, I mean, we've given up our – we didn't give up our season tickets. We were friggin' chased out. I mean, we were completely bullied and thrown out of the stadium. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, that's a fact.
I
right?
feel like cursing on your
okay,
show.
Well,
but I mean,
so what I'm saying is, we don't go to the games. We're not going to the games, right?
That's stunning.
So
to
my wife. It's not by. It was a decision made unto me and my.
Yes,
career.
Exactly.
So, my wife is like pulling for the Bills now.
Ah, God
bless
her.
She is, because she just wants to, like, see you happy. Like, literally, she's like,
sweet.
Versig would be happy. Buffalo would be happy. I mean, those poor people got bad weather up there. You know what I mean? They got a bad lot in life being in Buffalo.
Yeah,
let them win.
Never won. They won the AFC Championship in 63 and 64, but never in the Super Bowl ever.
Then they had to endure OJ. I mean, imagine if Cal Ripken turned out to be O.J.
And then,
like, seriously, how bad would that be?
Exactly. Exactly right. That's a good analogy. No, Buffalo fans have had to endure a lot. I remember being at the Ravens two parades, both parades, which were both exhilarating for me to be at these parades and see the celebration.
The most special thing you can ever experience.
See the city come out and everyone come out and celebrate it. And I sat there thinking, just once, let Buffalo have this experience. Just once.
Either with the Sabres or...
Either with the Sabres, who've also lost some very close...
Oh, my God. That Hasek thing, dude.
Oh, my God.
I was in... I watched them lose that game with my then-girlfriend, Robin, who I know you know well. So we were in Vegas together. Yeah. We were in the New York, okay?
Right.
So we're in New York. Is 99 or is it 2000? What, 99? Does that sound right?
Sounds right,
okay.
Yeah.
So we watched that 6 overtime game, the Hasek game, the Mike Modano game. We watched it in Il Forneo in New York and Vegas. And this is honest to God story. I watched them. I was going and playing blackjack between periods, right? And we kept our seat at the bar, and they lost the game, and I couldn't believe it that they because they got screwed, right? Buffalo got screwed,
right.
And I was pulling for you guys big time, right?
Right.
So I was a little bummed out. All these years later, 17 years later, 18 years later, I walked to the same literal space in the world inside the New York, which is adjacent to where I spent the previous 3 hours on the ice with the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Winning the Stanley Cup.
Right, right, right.
So, like, I had a moment. Jen and I walked out of the bowels of that stadium or the arena late. We were going to the team party that night at the Mandarin Orient. Trotz had invited us. We were going back to the room to dress, to like get freshened up. And we walked out, and I said to her, stop. We're going to make a – we literally were walking right by the New York, and I'm like, we're going in here, and I want to go to this space where I could not have fathomed at that moment that I watched Buffalo lose the cup and that the Washington Capitals would win the Stanley Cup with Barry Trotz as a head coach in Las Vegas where they'd have a team. But that moment where Buffalo – to me, that's as close to winning a championship. Norwood, I'll give you that.
Yeah, Norwood,
too. But the Sabres were on the cusp of doing.
Yeah, they were. I mean, this is Buffalo's lot in life, seemingly. But maybe not this year. I don't know. I mean, I you know, it's tough to win an NFL – championship. It's tough to win a Super Bowl and get all the way there, and you got to survive.
Well, the championship game is going to be in Buffalo this year.
I mean, hopefully, you know. Again, Buffalo lost to Jacksonville, who was a bad team last year. You know, in the middle of the season, so things can happen.
It's the NFL. Yeah.
Things can happen, but they've got a complete team. And honestly, the Von Miller signing. So I was thinking of the Ravens in this capacity. You know. Von Miller's a closer, right? Like, Von Miller, they spent so much money on Von Miller, and, you know, I was like, how could they spend so much on a guy? But they wanted to seize the day. You know, they wanted to
win. Ravens are at this point now with Lamar, right?
Right.
Where every week is a referendum on him now.
Yes, right.
Because he's not signed.
Right.
When Josh Allen has a bad week and loses to Jacksonville, it's we get him next week, right?
Yeah.
When Lamar throws a pick in Giant Stadium to lose a game across his body, across the field, into traffic, that cost them the football game.
Right.
The question the next day is, should we sign him? Will they sign him? How much money?
Right.
It's a different... And look, one of the reasons I got out of the sports radio business in that way, and I know you love listening to WNSD.
Right.
I just... Turning it into bitching all day and negativity... That's I had Buzz Bissinger on about 2 months ago. He wrote Friday Night Lights, right?
Yeah.
Cantankerous Buzz Bissinger. He said to me that the thing that he hated about covering sports in the modern era and Twitter is you have to be a jerk to get to, you know what I mean?
To get
and
your
even
readers,
though the nasty nester thing and whatever, like to sit and just tear down Lamar Jackson for 5 days after he throws the pick. Right. I'll write a piece, whatever. But if he were signed, it would be easier on the organization, easier on him, easier on the fan, easier on everybody. Right. The fact that he's not signed, this is treacherous for the Ravens.
I think so.
As an organization.
I've thought so from the beginning of the season. I thought, oh, my God, you know, like, this guy is so much fun to root for. I mean, I love Lamar. It's a very kind of slippery slope, the whole thing is, you know. So I don't know. We'll see where it ends up going. But I do think that some of the defensive losses that, you know, some of the games where we've kind of given it up at the end of games defensively.
But if you can run the ball, you don't have to do that. You run the ball, you hold an 18-point lead.
True, yeah.
You run the ball, you're not throwing the ball across your body on third down in your own territory.
True.
If you can run the ball at the end of a game, you don't give the ball back. That was the signature of the 2019 team. That was a younger Ronnie Stanley. That was a Hall of Fame worthy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Marshall Yanda, you know, being a part of that team, right? Absolutely. So that's all what they need to figure out in the coming weeks. Mike Versigliano's here. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I've had a lobster roll.
Yes.
But not a crab cake yet. So we're going to do that in the last segment.
You're going to do a crab cake on top of a lobster roll.
I had the lobster roll 20 minutes ago. I'm already hungry.
Wow.
So I brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're giving Raven scratch-offs away. I'm going to have some fresh scratch-offs next week. We're going to be at Greenmount Station next Friday up in Hampstead, Carroll County. Come out and say hello. They are opening the new thing that Chris is doing up there. So there'll be sports wagering available. If not by next Friday, certainly we're on the cusp of making that happen. I spent some time up at the Hollywood Casino with Todd Heap last week and Dwayne Starks. I'm leaving here. I'm going to see Dwayne Starks tonight.
Dwayne Starks.
You want to go with me? Come on, let's go.
I can't tonight, but I would love
come
to.
Come on, man. I love to go to the casino with me.
I love Dwayne
Starks.
Blowing
the dice. Let's go. Let's
I heard
bones.
Someone dissing Dwayne Starks the other day.
Yeah, they're wrong. Reagan.
No way.
They're wrong.
No way. He was a really excellent player.
What,
on
they call
team.
Him a draft bust or something?
Bob, pull his ring out. Yeah, right. They called him a draft bust.
Stop.
That's right. Come on.
This is why I don't take phone calls from these idiots. You should stop listening to 105.7. It's all brought to you by our friends, of course, at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You look good in bucket hats.
Like,
you look
try good. That out for
no,
you?
No, you can if you wish. I mean, you look good in all kinds of hats.
I need
you
a
can put it right over top if you want.
I need a basement more than I need windows.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, here we go. All right, so we're six got the Window Nation app. And our friends at Goodwill reminding you that Halloween is here, and there's a Goodwill right around the corner. My wife and I packed everything we had. We've been cleaning out the radio station, cleaning out our house, cleaning out the mess.
Wow.
And we put a whole bunch of stuff together and took it to Goodwill a couple weeks ago. You should do the same thing as well. They're putting people to work and making jobs happen. All right.
Love Goodwill.
My friend Nick's going to be here from Wise Markets. We're going to do a little Wise conversation. Danny Santoro, who has the Sonny Askew jersey on the wall, the proprietor of all things Gunpowder Lodge. Going to learn about the horses and the garden and the falls. And now that my wife knows there's horses here, we're going to be here again. We're at Gunpowder Lodge. We are in Kingsville, Maryland. We're going to be back in Dundalk 2 weeks from today on the 4th of November. We're going to be at Drug City. I didn't know Drug City had a crab cake.
Oh,
I sat
fantastic.
With Chuck. I went into Costas to watch game 2 of the National League Championship Series, the game the Padres won.
Right.
I left my house. The Padres were losing 4-0. I got to Costas. It was 4-4. I sat down before the first beer came to me, and I got my Crab Imperial. They were winning 7-4.
Nice.
So Costas was very good to me the other day when it comes to the Padres, and I ran into Chuck there. Chuck runs the fountain at Drug City, and he assured me that they have a crab cake that's delicious. And that's all I really ask for. If you have a crab cake and you think it's delicious, and JR here thinks that the Gunpowder Lodge crab cake's delicious, and I'm going to have it, and I have little doubt that it's probably going to be delicious.
I'm sure it's going to be great.
Well, I know that lobster roll was delicious.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, can I ask what you think has been the best one up to this date?
I keep getting asked best.
You know,
I can't give you best.
Because it's
I can give you classes of mustardy, fried, broiled.
Okay.
As an example, did you ever have a crab cake in the press box at Memorial Stadium?
I had a mini crab cake up
right,
there.
Right, the little,
yes.
little
yes.
fried
right.
ones,
yes.
right? That's the way my mother made them,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
So that's more of like, I don't want to say cheaper meat, but it's not jumbo lump,
right.
you know, like
yes.
all that
right.
velvety, creamy, it's just a fried hockey puck, right, as I would call it. There's
yes.
a place down in Annapolis called Davis Pub, and T-Bone Tom Marr's son, directed me there. They had the best tartar sauce I've ever had, and I don't like tartar sauce. My favorite kinds of tartar sauce, I've learned, don't taste like tartar sauce. So this was this lemony, aioli kind of thing.
Nice.
So there is an example of, it's not my favorite crab cake. It was a delicious,
it was a unique
crab cake.
Yeah.
Fadley's is the most unique of unique because no one makes a crab cake like Fadley's. It's mustardy. It's lightly fried. It's served at room temperature. It's not like any other crab cake. And when you get the little tomatoes, it's not like any other crab cake. Right. I mean, I've had a lot of unique crab cakes. I'll give you a couple spots on the Eastern Shore, and you can go look this up. If you can find a place called Old Salties.
Okay.
And that's in Hooper's Island. You got to go a long way to get there. It's beautiful. There's a lot of birds. You ever been to Blackwater Refuge?
No.
You're an outdoors guy.
I know. I love kayaking and all that.
Get off of 50. Go south of 50, south of Cambridge, and go down and get a crab cake. Now, you want to go north of Cambridge? You want to go north? So what you do is you go to the Confederate flag, and then you find the Trump flag that's bigger, and the Brandon
God.
F. Biden signs. And right under there, there's a place called... there's a place called Suicide Bridge, okay? It's in Hurlock, Maryland. And I would say you'll never have a finer crab cake than you would have there in summer because they're pulling female crabs out of the water and you're getting fresh summer, you know.
So you're saying the Confederate flag and the Trump flag are in the same location.
Same backyard. Yeah, as you cross the bridge.
Yeah, of course, yes.
It's the Eastern Shore.
Of course.
You should go to Western Maryland. But I'm just being honest with you.
Okay.
So
doesn't matter if you're trying to find a crab cake. That's
other
it.
Places... I'm going to give you, because I'm giving free shout-outs here, okay? Because you asked me.
Yes.
Here's a Baltimore crab cake for you, all right?
Yes.
You're
going
to go to the other side of town,
right?
All right? Nobody knows about this except me and Charm City bloggers, Charm City Table. I want to give Simone some love for this, okay? Simone said, you got to go to the Crab Queen. I'm like, what's Crab Queen?
Crab Queen? All right. Yeah.
So I said, the Crab Queen. She's on Ricerstown Road in Randallstown.
Okay.
Liberty Road.
Right.
Liberty Road, not Rice. Liberty Road. Past Milford Mill, mile and a half outside the Beltway, right in a little plaza, on the backside of a plaza. Very, very humble location.
Mm.
Carry out only, really. There's nowhere to
eat.
But everything's brand new. Get a crab cake from the Crab Queen.
Okay, the Crab Queen. All right.
It delicious.
Okay.
Delicious.
Okay.
Now, that being said, Conrad's, Costas, you know, Fadley's.
Right.
You know, Pappas.
Yeah, Pappas. I was going to mention
Pappas. Well, you've had their crab cake.
Well, I love Pappas only because...
So I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
No, I don't. Right, I don't have
the... Be a Pappas
I don't have the breadth of crab cake knowledge that you do. But
delicious.
I love Pappas because I used to go there with my neighbor, Mrs. Hine, 99 years old. She made it to 99 and a half. We lost her. But she loved that place. And I loved it, too, being with her and having a crab cake with her. So that's...
So, well, then, in a couple weeks, I'll be back at you. Come back out. Bring Nuzgard. Yeah. Bring Marlo.
Oh.
Bring Jack Gibbons.
I saw the photos of you and Nuz. You know, like, that made me feel so great, you know, seeing you guys together.
So Nuzgard and I, his wife's got a band, Southway. Free plug there for
right.
you, all right? So Nuzzy's wife... is in the band, and we go out and see the band sometimes. So
the
band played up at Riley's Oyster. Don't tell Brian McComas I was in. I didn't vote his way. So I went in, and Nuss was there. And Nuss and I were, like, doing our thing for a half an hour.
Right.
And this is back in the spring. And we left, and we get in the car, and my wife said to me, no one loves you more than that guy loves you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
With you.
She's like, I see you with people everywhere. No one loves you more than Bob Nuzgard loves you. And I said, okay. So we go to Guinness 3 weeks ago. Nuzgard and I didn't even speak.
Oh, at the
no,
whole
no,
thing?
No, no, no. We spoke. He comes up to me and he says, you need an editor. You need an editor, is what he says to me. Because he read all 19,000. I said, you read every word of it. You need an editor. I said, but you read every word of it. You need an editor. And that's all he said to me.
Very funny.
And then I turned around and he was gone.
Nah.
It was like a ghost. It was like Scotty beamed him up back in the day. So, but my wife says to me, no one loves you more than Bob Nuzgard loves you.
Well,
if he loves me, I'll come have a crab cake with me at Pappas is what he'll do.
I mean, I've always had, you know, man love for you, Ness, but, you know, Nuss.
But not like Nuzgard.
No, I agree with Jen on that. Yeah, absolutely.
He's very paternal of me, Bob Nuzgard.
He is, yeah.
Mike Rossigliano and I worked together in 1984 at First Sports First and the News American.
Yes.
The News Post, and then we went up the street to the Evening Sun. I got to first base with Morgana because of this guy.
True story.
You haven't told that one, right?
My buddy, you know, like, Morgana, you know.
Spent the night at your place when they let her out of jail. Rossig got her out of jail that morning. That's a true story.
True story. I'll rehash the Morgana story. Morgana, of course, as a lot of Oreo fans know,
you told me she was going to do it.
She called me and said, "I'm going to kiss Cal Ripken at Fantastic Fans Night,
and I'm
going to
get arrested.
And I'm going to get arrested, but come out." So I found her and her husband Bill, who's the greatest guy in the world.
May 1988.
Yes, and, you know, we did it.
I wasn't even 21.
Well, she didn't.
I was underage, and she kissed me.
The party, you're right. And you and many other sports figures by Morgana the Kissing Bandit, you know.
Does this mean I kissed Pete Rose and George Brett?
So, yes. So, indirectly, you have, somehow. And Lem Barker and, you know, a bunch of other guys.
My wife told me this crab cake tour was a bad idea, you know.
I love Morgana. She's one of my all-time favorite people. And, you know, when she got arrested at Fantastic Fans Night, she came back several months later to contest the ticket.
She had to go back to court.
She had to go to court. So my son Steve and I went down.
Is that when we played volleyball?
Yes, that's when we played volleyball.
That's when she kissed me.
Yes, that's when she kissed you. So
I had a felon kissing
we
me.
We tried to implore Morgana.
Is it a felony or was it a misdemeanor?
It was, I think, a misdemeanor. I don't know. All I remember is that Morgana told us
All I know is Rex Barney saying, you will be fine, imprisonment, or both.
Right. Yes.
So, subject to fine, imprisonment, or both.
Oh, my God. So Morgana, you know, spent the night in jail in Baltimore and told me that the jail, which is right on the block, is where she was. She started her career on the block as like a 13-year-old, but she got away with it because
you can break the rules in Baltimore.
Well, because also she was so
well endowed. Yes,
she could get away with that.
She was a gifted woman, Morgana. Gifts.
But one of the funniest ladies
I've ever. She's still alive, right?
Still alive. Okay. I have not heard from her in the last year, so I'm a little
Hello,
concerned.
Ohio. Come on, Morgana.
Come on, Morgana. Check in with us. But anyway.
We should do a Rossig All-Star Day. You can get Morgana, Mike Bellani.
Oh,
on.
My God.
All right.
So just to tell you about Bellani, it would have been fun for you to get him on the show because he goes to the Bills games now with like a Fred Flintstone water buffalo. You know those hats when they were in the Loyal Order of Water?
So they've
designed these kind of Buffalo Bills water buffalo hats for their tailgate. And Bellani was on Facebook the other day with one of those on, and it just busted me.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to end it with this. We're at Gunpowder Lodge, all brought to you by the lottery. Our friends at Goodwill. Rossig was going to wear the Window Nation bucket hat. 866-90-NATION. Do what I did. Buy two, get two free.
I mean, I'll put it on right here.
You put it on. That's good. You wear it.
There it is.
There it is. Rossig's got the hat on. So here's the. I left my ball cap over Costas. I got to reclaim that. Eric, I need a new Window Nation hat. I am going to Buffalo. 2 weeks from tomorrow morning.
Great.
I am having breakfast with your nephew, Mike.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, you don't even know this.
I didn't know that.
We are going to breakfast.
We love that.
We're going to breakfast right by the airport.
Great.
And I'm going into Toronto to see Bono do his thing with my buddy Billy Yerman. So I'm going to spend a couple days in Toronto, but I'm going through Buffalo. So here's the deal. If Bellani would have breakfast with me and Mike, we should set that up.
I'll contact him this weekend.
I want to have a Buffalo celebrity breakfast.
I think he would enjoy being with you. You know,
and if there's any relatives of Ron Jaworski that want to come up from North Tonawanda, or was it Chickawaga? Where's he from? He's in the Lancaster. Lancaster.
Oh, Mikey is in Lancaster.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
There you go. Depew. I get him. Amherst. I get them all mixed up. Right.
And you know, my all-time favorite story is a Buffalo story with you, of course. And we've told that
one
before.
When I fell in love in Buffalo?
Yes, exactly, that one. But you ended up with the greatest girl of all, you know. So.
I met a girl in Buffalo one time. She went to Geneseo State. Sig was marveled that I had fallen in love with a Western New Yorker. She was actually from Vermont. So
okay, yes. Yeah, and in that weekend that we...
It was Houston Oiler related. We went.
It was totally Houston Oiler related.
It wasn't that weekend of the Oilers game. It was a game they lost that paved the road to that loss.
Yes, exactly.
The famous loss.
That's right. The famous loss, the come from behind loss.
We're not going to talk about that day either.
No, but it's such a, you know, whenever, anytime Frank Reich's name comes up in a Colts game as the coach, I think
I took
fondly,
a picture with me,
I think
Frank Reich, and the Lombardi Trophy the night that they won it with the Eagles.
Nice, nice.
And all I kept saying to my wife is, you won't believe what that SOB did back in 91. All right, we are at Gunpowder Lodge. I'm going to have a crab cake before it's all over with. We're going to have friends from Wise Markets joining us. Nick's going to stop by. Danny Santoro's here with the Sonny Askew jersey. He's going to explain all things Gunpowder Lodge. Huge soccer history here. World Cup stuff. Got the World Cup coming up
great.
In a couple of weeks from Qatar. You got your little Santa hat on for your World Cup and all that, right?
Sweet.
I'm going to have cookies and soccer all during December. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're at Gunpowder Lodge with my pal, Rasig. Stay with us.
Awesome.